Good morning. The Bible passage this morning is taken from James chapter 5, and I know it says James chapter 3 in your bulletin, but that's because your church staff didn't know they need to hold my hand and lead me along the way, because otherwise I'm going to mess it up. They did send me this stuff to look over to make sure it was right, and I just looked at it and said, well, they know what they're doing, so of course it's right, not if I send the wrong information. So Dusty was up here this morning and he started off and I said to myself, oh, great, Dusty just gave my message. I want to share a story with you. I like to tell stories. And one time after a service, a member of the congregation came up to me and he said, all you do is tell stories. And I said, well, Jesus kind of went around telling stories. And he had a very quick reply. Jesus has had a point. You always know you're not popular with everyone. I really struggle over what to say when I go to different churches. And I go to a different church just about every week. And you have no idea where these churches are. So I actually spend a lot of time in prayer wondering what am I going to speak about, and I'm glad I did that, because otherwise I go, Dusty gave my message, now what am I going to do? But I got a call from a church to go there, and they sent requesting the information, and I kind of like to go online and see where they're at and what the minister's doing, and their website wouldn't come up. So I had no clue where they were. And after spending some time, I could hear God saying to me, speak from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I get an email back from the minister just like that. I'm so happy you looked at where I was at and what I was doing in this church and that you'll be continuing my series. I tell people I had two moments of terror that week. We had just bought a commercial building and I walked into that commercial building and it was dark inside there and I see someone coming back walking toward me. And then I realized it was a mirror. And the second time I was filled with terror that week was when the minister said, I'm so glad you're going to continue on what I've been speaking on, because I had absolutely no clue what he was speaking on. But he had been going through the book of 1 Samuel, and the week before I was to be there, he had done 1 Samuel chapter 16. And as he told his congregation, when he got back up there the next week, he said, I had been struggling whether or not I was doing the right thing with this series in the book of 1 Samuel, but of all the chapters in the Bible that Royce could have been given to speak on, he speaks on 1 Samuel 17. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, too, is do we see the hand of God in our lives? Because that minister said that was the hand of God. Sometimes the hand of God is in the small things, and we don't recognize it, that God is active everywhere around us. Let's read from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. A few years ago, I read about a man who was converted, and he went to a church. And he'd been going there for a couple of weeks, and he walked up to a council member, and he asked him, when do we get to do the fun stuff? And the council member looked at him and asked, what do you mean by the fun stuff? He said, well, I'm reading in the Bible and I see in the early church that there were healings and the presence of the Spirit was there and there were so many things happening. And all I see here is we come and we sit in the auditorium and we listen to someone preach and then we all go back home. And the council member said, yeah, that's what we do here. So my question for you this morning is, are you doing the fun stuff? Are you seeing the presence of God here? Are you looking around you and saying, I see God at work, and sharing with you, those around you, what you see, what you hear, what you are witnessing of God at work? My sons and I have a lot of rental properties, and there's a real shortage of housing right now. Last week, we were gone, and one of my sons listed a property for rent, and he basically got no response. And that's very, very odd. And a couple of days later, a woman contacted him and wanted to look at the house. He'd had two other people look, and they just weren't interested. And we're just shaking our heads going, what's going on here? But the lady came to look at the house, and her son-in-law needed housing, her daughter and her son-in-law. He had been injured, was partially paralyzed, in a wheelchair, needed a wheelchair-accessible house. Was going to be released was going to be released from the hospital on Monday afternoon. He had absolutely nowhere to go except maybe a hotel room because they had no place that was handicapped accessible for him. Now, the week before that, we had taken the bathtub out of this house because when we bought it, it was installed incorrectly and we'd put in a walk-in shower. So this house was now fully handicap accessible. And I could say, yeah, that was just a coincidence, but I'm here to tell you, that wasn't just a coincidence. God set that all up so that that young man and his wife would have a place to go right at that time, right at that place. And I kind of thought to myself, though, you know, God, you kind of let them hang out there till the last minute. You maybe could have told them they were going to have some place to go a little earlier than that. But God set it all up. And sometimes we don't see when God is working in our lives, when God is allowing us to see the fun stuff. You remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites came up to the Jordan River and God told Joshua that when the priests put their feet into the Jordan River, it's going to stop flowing and you can cross over. And the Bible tells us exactly where the water piled up. Do you know the same thing happened in the 1900s? Because the water goes around a horseshoe bend, cuts underneath the bank till the bank falls off, dams up the river. That's exactly where the water piled up in the 1900s. The thing of it was the timing. God set up the timing and he made it happen. The Israelites of that day and the nations around could have said too, you know, that was just a coincidence. But it wasn't. It was God at work. And we're too often in our lives going, you know, that was probably just a coincidence. But it's not. God's hand is all around us. Loving in Oskaloosa was working with a woman who was in a crisis intervention housing. She needed to be there to be safe, but she had been there as long as she could be. And one of the members of our church that was on the council was working with this woman to try to find her housing and was coming up empty, could not find anything. And he's going, we've got 48 hours to find her a place to go. 48 hours. What are we going to do? He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he walks out on his deck and he starts to pray. And this is a man who is what I would call a very conservative Christian, not one of those Pentecostal types, right? So he's sitting on his deck praying and saying, God, we've got to have a place to put this woman and her kids. And he said he felt a presence there. He knew he wasn't alone sitting on his deck. It was a new experience for him. He said, I knew God was there. Next morning at 9 o'clock, he got a phone call. Here's a house. She can have it. God took care of it. Sharon and I were in a church in Northwest Iowa a couple years ago, and it's a church that is doing very well. On the screens before church, it encourages you to move in. More people need seats. Move in. So the minister is up on the pulpit, and he asks this question, have any of you seen a verifiable miracle? My hand went up. Sharon's hand went up. I think there might have been two people back behind us away whose hands also went up. And that was it. I'm not sure that the minister expected anybody's hands to go up that morning. He put that little phrase, verifiable, in front of it. How do you verify a miracle? What is that supposed to mean? Several years ago, I got a call from a woman in October. It was one of those first evenings when you want to turn your furnace on, and hers hadn't come on. I said, well, I can come and take a look at it, but I don't know much about furnaces. I'm not an HVAC guy. So I went over there to take a look at it. Pilot was on. Thermostat was calling for heat. I'm done. I went up to talk to her and say, you know, I'm going to have to call a furnace repair man. It's a Saturday night. Probably won't be able to get anybody in here till Monday. The temperature's only supposed to get down to 50. You'll be okay. And I knew this woman and I knew her lifestyle. And she said to me, why are so many bad things happening in my life? I said to her, you know, sometimes God brings bad things into our lives so it'll make us stop and take a look at our lives and say, do we need God in our lives? What is God doing here? We had a fairly long conversation. She said, I really need to bring my daughter to church. I need to get her involved. So I invited her to our church and I said, you know, I'm going to go and pick up my tools down the basement and then head on my way. I put my tools in the case, picked up the case, and the furnace started. She came to our church a couple of times. Her daughter was in GEMS for a while, and then they kind of floated off again. And we had a international student, Chinese student, live with us for a couple of years. And I said, I don't understand. You know, God was there that night, and yet it didn't seem to stick. And he said to me, Royce, you don't know the end of the story. So I went back up, and as I was leaving, and I said to her, your furnace has started. I said, I don't know what was wrong with it. I don't know why it started, but I think maybe it quit and didn't run because I needed to come here tonight and talk to you about God. And she said, you're right. But here's the interesting thing. There's two kinds of people when I tell that story. There are those who say, wow, God gets involved in our lives today. And there are those who say, you suppose a couple of wires came back together as you walked across the floor by vibration or something? What do you suppose happened that made that furnace start? And my answer is, does it matter? Does it matter how or why the furnace started? The fact of the matter is, God set the timing. He set the timing because I needed to go there, I needed to talk to that woman, and after I was finished talking to her, he wanted to make it plain that I was there to talk to her, not do furnace repair. God gets involved in our lives, and we need to share it with each other. We need to tell each other when we see God in our lives. We need to encourage everyone around us to do the fun stuff, to see the fun stuff in our lives. James tells us what the New Testament church is supposed to look like, and that didn't end when the Bible was written. It's to continue on into the future, seeing God at work in our world, building his kingdom here. I have seen God do a lot of miraculous things in my life. On three different occasions, I've prayed for people that I don't even know at someone's request. People who the doctors were saying they're not going to make it till morning, and the next morning they're out of the ICU. And I have done that for people I know as well and have not seen them out of the ICU or healed. God's still building his kingdom. God is still interacting in our world. I was 15 years old, and I got caught in an auger. One more revolution of the auger, and it would have cut my head off. You learn a lot about yourself and the world when you're 15 years old, and then you think you're going to be dead in less than a second. I had a lot of nerve and muscle damage in my arms. Spent a lot of time in the hospital. They had to do surgery to repair the nerves. There were three nerves that they needed to repair, two in one arm and one in the other, two in my right arm. The neurosurgeon wanted to repair just one in the right arm. I'm not real fond of being put out and going into surgery. So being a snarky 15-year-old, I said to this man who knew what he was doing, you should just do both nerves at the same time on the right arm. And he reluctantly agreed to do that. Went into surgery at 5 a.m. in the morning that day. And these are the days before that the nurses would come out and keep your parents and relatives updated on how the surgery was going. And so every time during the day when the doors to the surgery unit would open and they'd wheel a patient out, my parents were hopeful that it was me. Finally, at 7 p.m., the doors slam open. The gurney is inverted so that my head is way below my feet and they're running. Two days later, the surgeon shows up in my hospital room with an intern. And the surgeon asks, "How are you doing?" They did surgery on my right arm. Going into surgery, I couldn't use my left arm either. And I held my left hand up and I did this. And the intern said, "Well, it looks like we did you some good." Remember, he was talking to a snarky 15-year-old whose reply was, "You never touched my left arm." All the follow-up visits I had with that surgeon, he never mentioned my left arm again either. the people of our church and my parents were praying that I would have healing as I went into that surgery. And I always say, you know, God did a lot better job on my left hand than the surgeon did on my right hand, because I still don't have full use of the right hand, but I do have the left hand. But you want to know what the really sad part about this is? I never said anything to anyone about that for 20 years. God got involved in my life. He made it so I could use my hand again without any intervention from a surgeon or a doctor, and I said nothing. Don't be me. When God acts in your life, share it. Share it to everyone around you. And if you start telling stories, you would be amazed at how many stories everyone has of how they have seen God at work. How they have seen lives changed around them. How they felt the presence of God. I have a nephew who was on a council in a different denomination, and they were sending a mission team to Cambodia. They went way in the back country in Cambodia, and they were going to have a worship service in this village Sunday morning, and it was Saturday evening, and there were two girls in this village that had meningitis. They were both confined to their beds. The mission team tried to get a helicopter to come in and take them out because they were looking at these girls knowing they're not going to survive. At least one of them will be gone tomorrow morning. Maybe if we can get a helicopter in here and get them airlifted out, we can get them into a hospital situation and we can get a doctor involved and save their lives. Couldn't do it. The mission team gathered around their bed and prayed for them. The next morning, they got ready to do the worship service, assuming that they would hear that at least one of the girls was gone. Both girls walked into the worship service, healed. They came back to the United States and decided, wow, man, we have got to do another mission trip. We've got to go again. God's at work. So they were having a bake sale fundraiser outside of some mega store. And a man comes out of the store screaming obscenities at them. And they're thinking, this guy looks like he is demon-possessed. And they gathered in a circle and started praying. And it was like the demon left the man and he became very calm. And he came over and talked with them and they shared the gospel with him. The next council meeting, one of the council members says, it's like we're living in Bible times. Elijah was a man just like us, but he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Elijah was a man just like us. I know that God is not going to do everything we ask him to do, but Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will do the things that I am doing. If we are in tune with God, if we see that he is building his kingdom around us, if we want to be a part of that, and we pray in the Spirit, we can set our world on fire. This congregation could be the congregation that's known as, that's where they do the fun stuff. How many of you want to be the congregation where they do the fun stuff? I want that for every congregation. I want every congregation to be rejoicing because they see God at work continually around them, in them, and through them. I want every person that knows they have had their sins paid for because of the blood of Jesus Christ to be reveling in the fact that God is walking with them and acting in their lives every day. Ask for that. Pray that God will do the fun stuff in your life, in your congregation, in your community. Because he's offering to do it. He's offering to be that wind that blows through our lives. Remember at Pentecost when there was the sound of a great rushing wind and the Spirit of God came? Those Jews on Pentecost had been prepped for that by their rabbis without even knowing it for years, generations. Because in Hebrew, the word for wind and the word for spirit is the same word, ruach. And so when they heard that wind, they knew the Spirit of God was there. May there be a wind blowing through this congregation and through your lives. The wind of the Spirit. Blowing everything before it. Let's pray. Our Father, be real to us. Send your Spirit to impact our lives and our church and our congregation. Open our eyes to see it and our mouths to share with all of those around us. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.